Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brendan Drake. You're back. You missed me, didn't you?
Good to be here, brother.
Good to have you back, man, as always. Wonderful to have you back. All right, at what we do on the Drift Saturdays here at WAM Talk 1600, we go over the news of the week from the Daily Drift. And if you're not going to the Daily Drift, you should go to www.thedailydrift.com and read all those stories that I put links there for you. I do the work for you. Comb the internet to find you the news you need to know. So go to thedailydrift.com and take a look at that. Let's do our sponsor and get that out of the way, too. Our sponsor this half hour will be The Rock Shop on Godfredson Road, 734-455-5560. Or you can go to their website, www.rock-shop. That's S-H-O-P-P-E.com.
You just like saying pee-pee.
I missed you. The Rock Shop. So if you're looking to get anything done in your patio, your garden, outdoor scape needs, go to The Rock Shop on Godfredson Road. It's got a great selection of man-made and natural stones, stone wall, boulders, fountains, all the products you need to turn your landscape dreams into a reality. Go see Marco and Helena at The Rock Shop on Godfredson Road, right at M14. Get off and just go north a little bit and you'll run into them. 734-455-5560. Great place. If you haven't been up there, make sure you go up there and check it out. Rock Hound Room has all those cool little rocks, you know. Anyway, so there we go. Got that out of the way. Well, we're going to start out with the debate, and I've got a whole slew of things that I want to talk about. And we actually had Wendy Day in last week. Well, she's calling in today because she said, I talked to her earlier in the week, and Phil Chen set it up. So, Wendy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here.
All right. Were you happy with Ted Cruz's performance? I was, too.
I think he knocked it out of the park. And it was, I actually got to go to Cleveland, so it was really fun to be in the arena during the debate. It was quite entertaining.
I saw some of your Twitters, and because I was actually on Twitter. The first time I really spent any amount of time on Twitter in my life. I mean, normally I'll do it once a week, and I Twittered through the entire two debates. I saw the first one, and I saw the second one, and I now understand Twitter a lot better, so it was interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, what I didn't like, and we'll get into this quite deeply, I don't think Ted got enough time on the air. I felt like they kind of avoided him. Drake, would you say that?
Well, I did not see the debates. I've just heard the talk of the debates.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, I can say this. One of my tweets were, give Ted more time, and it got retweeted across the country dozens of times, which I thought was really cool, by people I have no idea who they were, but they obviously picked up my tweets from somewhere. So,
well, I thought it actually kind of worked out in our favor, because they asked him two questions at the beginning, and he gave great answers, and then they waited an entire hour to give him another question, which basically made everybody who supports him mad and to start Twittering about him and talking about him. And then he got to answer another question, knocked it out of the park, and his conclusion was fantastic, too. And when you look at the total talk times, actually, he did get a fair amount, although, of course, Jeb and Donald dominated the time. But it felt like he did not get his fair share of time to speak. So, I don't know, but the answers he did give were so excellent that I think it was okay at the end of the day.
And for those of you who don't know Wendy Day, she is our Michigan State Director for the Ted Cruz presidential campaign. And I looked at the latest polls. I think he went up a little bit after the debates, if I'm looking at the correct latest poll here from Friday, August 7th. And oddly enough, Trump still on top. You can hit the guy with a bat and he just keeps coming, doesn't it?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me about Cruz, because one thing that I found about him is the more you get to know him, the more you like him. And that doesn't happen very often with politicians. Usually it's the other way around. With Trump, you know, the more they beat on him and he just turns around and just says, I don't really care what you think. I mean, the more people just, I think, are entertained by that and find it to be funny. So he's tapping into something that's strong. within the the American population who are tired of political correctness.
Yeah.
But what I love about Cruz, though, is that all of his stances are very principled, and I think people want that too. So how do you find that balance? Because not only does Cruz speak plainly as well, but he also is very principled.
Hey, Wendy, to do a little compare and contrast here with Ted Cruz versus, say, Donald Trump, I like what you just said where, Ted Cruz, he definitely has his principles, he has policy, whereas Trump at this point, it's more about personality, and like you said, people, find him kind of shocking and funny, and I think he can only ride this trend for so long before he has to start coming out. He can still have his sneering junkyard dog personality, but at the same time, he's going to have to come out with a little more substance, some policy, some details, aside from just talking about, I'm against illegal aliens because they're committing a lot of crimes and Mexico is smarter than us sending their criminals here. I mean, we get that, but at the same time, come out and be more of a legitimate candidate with actual policy specifics that would be part of your platform and your administration. Do you agree? Otherwise, he's going to crash and burn.
Well, I agree that I think people will want more from him in terms of depth and to color in the lines a little bit, because at the end of the day, what we're looking for is someone that we trust with our families, someone that we trust, when we're faced with a very dangerous geopolitical environment. Somebody who's going to be measured and smart and understands the proper role of government and understands the proper role of America in the world stage. And so I think people are going to demand some assurances that underneath the showmanship is a plan and a policy and a temperament that can not only be strong but have peace through strength. Carry that big stick, but not necessarily beat people over the head with it.
Yeah, and now let me ask you something, Wendy. Since you were there in the audience, my initial reaction right off the get-go from Bret Baier making Donald stick up his hands, and when I listened to the audience when he did stick up his hands saying he wouldn't promise not to run an independent campaign, I didn't hear it didn't sound like boos to me. It sounded more like oohs. Like people were like, whoa.
Oh, no, it was boos.
They were boos?
Loud, deafening boos. But see, here's a scoop. That question actually had two parts. And all anybody's talking about is the pledge to not run a third party. I don't think that's what he was pledging to. The other part of that was, do you pledge, and I'm going to paraphrase it, do you pledge to unequivocally endorse and support whoever the nominee is, even if it's not you, and then will you not run as a third party? So, he didn't agree to all that because, and I would imagine, I can't read his mind, but I think that it's important to remember that he's not going to agree to support somebody in advance of knowing who it is.
Right.
Lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, because he'd never support Jeb Bush. I think he would support Ted Cruz. I believe he would support maybe a Mike Huckabee. But I don't see, there are two or three people on that stage that I don't know Donald Trump would support. And I can't blame him because I don't know that I would support them either.
Well, and plus, I think it's an inappropriate question. It's the first few minutes of the first debate. We're like, a year and several months off from the election?
Yeah.
And, I guess not that far out from the nomination of the Republican candidate, but still, I mean, it's like I don't think it's even appropriate at this point in the cycle.
Well, we all have a sense that there is so much going on behind the scenes, and so much of this was, I mean, every one of those questions was in order was extremely purposely connived to get a specific result. Now we can debate and argue about what that result is, and there's enough conspiracy theories to go around, but we know that it was purposeful, and but at the end of the day, there's no whining in politics. And we, to complain that it was unfair and to complain about this, if these guys can't handle the questions, if they can't figure out a way around without getting permission from people to speak, then what are they going to do as president? I mean, I'm not worried about the amount of time Ted Cruz got because he's not asking their permission to be president. He's asking the people's permission. He has lots of ways to reach out to the people besides one debate. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess what bothered me is I expected out of this debate to be clear-cut questions from professional reporters who would say, what is your stance on immigration? What is your stance on Planned Parenthood? What is your stance on the Iran nuke deal? Instead, it was kind of some smarmy. It seemed like they were concentrating on the ills. They went after Paul Walker for his stand on abortion.
Scott Walker.
Did I say Paul Walker? Yeah, that's a bad one. That's a bad one, isn't it? Scott Walker. They went after him. They went after Huckabee. And then the final question of the night was from some guy who asked, what is your message from God? And I thought to myself, and it's just the way Megyn Kelly said it. Have you heard from God? And she goes right to Ted Cruz, you know.
Again, inappropriate question.
Yes, I'm
stupid.
Thinking, you know, why are you people wasting our time talking about it? It was like asking Donald Trump about your stand on calling women names. I'm surprised Donald Trump didn't say, I call men a lot of names, too. Am I waging a war on men as well? It's ridiculous. And it seemed like they spent way too much time talking about stupid, and I would expect that from MSNBC, and I tweeted that out too. I said, you know, I feel like I'm watching MSNBC running this debate because they just look like hatchet jobs. That's what I felt like. They were trying to make them look stupid.
It was for entertainment, not information. That's the core difference. It was for entertainment, not as much information. I mean, they didn't even ask Rubio about the Gang of Eight. Come on. You know, there's so many things that they didn't touch on. I do think it's okay to go after those weaknesses because I did want to see how they were going to respond. And you might as well just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Don't tiptoe around it because at the end of the day, you can tell me how you feel about all these other issues, but I want to know what you're going to say about this main elephant in the room, you know, that we know is an issue for you. And they better have good answers. And I'm not convinced they all did. Some of the candidates surprised me. I don't, how did you feel about that? I mean, were there any surprises for you?
I was just going to say back to Trump with the third party thing. I don't think it was so much that he couldn't handle the question as that people couldn't handle the answer. You know, at that stage of the game, right? I mean, it's like he's like you said, Wendy, I'm not going to make any commitments at this point to some unknown, and I'm in this thing to win. So,
but yeah. I think people heard though was not that first half of the question, but the second half of the question, which was the third party run. And frankly, it is kind of crappy because we know that if he makes a third party run, it's not going to help us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and you have an arena full of people either completely loyal to a candidate already on that stage or faithful GOP members.
Yeah.
So any way you slice it, none of us are going to like that answer.
Well, that's right. And I've said this all along, and I really believe this. I don't really consider Trump a Republican by any means. He's his own man. And if he can't get this nomination, I wouldn't be shocked if he did a third-party thing, regardless of the consequences.
Well, and you got to appreciate the honesty.
Yeah. Whether I agree with that or not is another issue. Yeah, I'm just saying that I don't consider him a Republican. I mean, if you say Republican, does Donald Trump really come to mind? Until now, when he's declared he's, you know, for the nomination. No, I would have never thought of him as a Republican.
Yeah, well, I don't consider myself a Republican anymore. I really don't. I am a conservative.
Well, there you go.
I'm a fiscal conservative, and I'm a social moderate compared to many conservatives. And so I don't just blindly support. I wouldn't send money to the GOP. They ask me all the time. I tell them flat out no.
But I would think if I had to choose, though, and they said, Gary Wellings or Donald Trump, Republicans say about a year ago, I'd say, Gary Wellings, Donald Trump. Yeah. What are you guys talking about?
You've tainted me with the GOP.
No, and that's not an insult. It's just, you know, you're going to lean that way more than say in my mind to Donald Trump then and now.
Right. Yeah.
I do think this is an ongoing shifting landscape. I do think there are things that go on behind the scenes that we don't know anything about. You know, I saw in an interview Carly Fiorina came out yesterday or today and slammed Cruz for trying to defund Obamacare. And I thought, why did she do that? Like, a lot of people like her and, you know, and so I just have to wonder what's going on behind the scenes. Because, you know, you can have a flat-out policy like Cruz has that you won't criticize any of the other candidates, which I love because it's clean, it's statesmanlike, and I like that. I mean, he's going to call out behavior like McConnell, you know, he's going to call out McConnell as lying to him, but he's not ripping on any of their candidates. But when you do rip on the candidates, if you don't have a specific purpose for doing that, then I think that's very foolish. And I know that Carly Fiorina is smart, So she must have some particular reason for doing that. It certainly isn't anything that I want to be a part of necessarily, because, you know, I think Cruz is the principled, proven record candidate and the only one that can win that is a principled conservative with a proven record.
Yes. Well, hopefully we'll see if that's enough. Well, Wendy, thank you so much for calling in. And hopefully, is Ted going to come back to Michigan before too long?
He is. He'll be at the Mackinac Conference for the GOP. And he'll be back a couple more times. His dad's coming back too, Pastor Raphael. Everybody's been asking for him to come back since the moment he basically left Michigan. He's coming back at the end of September. So we'll have more information. We'll get out to your listeners.
Okay, great. Well, make sure you stay in touch. And if they get a chance to get Ted or his dad or anybody in, we'd love to have him in. You're always welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. So there's Wendy Day from, she's the Michigan, State of Michigan director for the Ted Cruz presidential campaign. Great lady. She's very
great.
Yeah, she is.
Smart,
well spoken.
Very, you know, upbeat and full of energy.
She should have
loved that.
Won, I think, I think it's the 47th district up there. There were some shenanigans going on, and Hank Vaupel got it. He's all right, but I think she would have been a great state rep, and it's too bad that she didn't make it. You know, but maybe things happen for a reason, and she's here helping the Cruz campaign.
Bigger and better things, possibly.
Yeah, absolutely. So, very excited. I like Ted Cruz. I really do. Do I think he can win? I'm not sure. I really am not sure. I don't know that American people are smart enough to understand and realize what a gift he would be as a president for this country, you know, because part of it's because the media is just bashing him every time you turn around. I know some very smart people who don't like him, and it's because he's been painted wrong by the media. And when you talk to them and let them know and give them information, the light bulb goes off over their head. And I'm like, really? Is the media that powerful in this country that they can paint somebody badly?
Do they give any specifics as to why they initially
They didn't trust him. You know, there were some issues with Mitch McConnell and stuff. So, again, it's like a conspiracy to keep these true conservatives out of the running. It really is amazing. It's not a conspiracy. I don't care. You can call me Conspiracy Gary, but it's true. There is definitely an agenda, and I believe Fox News is now part of that agenda, to keep true conservatives out of powerful positions.
What does Alex Jones have to say?
The global elite scum are ruling the Americans. It's Alex Jones.
That's a good job. I like that.
You got to love those, right? I like doing the Alex Jones impressions. But
take our guns away.
I know. That kind of threw me off a little bit because I wanted to start with something local. So let's take a quick call from John. John, welcome to the show. What do you got?
Hey, guys. It's true. It is a big conspiracy, and the way you know it is the numbers that watch. The media and them, they do control all of the points that the people listen to, the comedy shows and everything. And so what they do is, with this many people watching and everybody can see the spin, because the response was so massive, because people are concerned and they're worried about what's going on. So this, what you saw, was a show, and they knew it. It was all about ratings. And that Bret Baier on the show today with what's that one fellow's name? He's got the glasses now, and he's dancing.
Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace.
That's it, Chris Wallace. He said, we were expecting a lot, but not this big, and my Twitter feed is full and everything. So, and you could see by the demeanor of the host that wasn't normal. And so really, Fox News, part of it is paid by one of the oil people over there. And they did sell out. But if you do something too radical, like take Juan Williams, he stated, well, I was on the plane and these people wearing turbans, that made me feel uncomfortable. Like, you know, why aren't they checked? It could be a bomb. And they fired him. Okay,
yeah.
Because the agenda is, hey, we got them in the White House, we're going to do this. So Fox News took them on. You know, and now you see them getting more nasty to the left. And you can see it in the eyes and the face. Everything, you know, shows on the face. And, you know, I'm with you on Ted Cruz and Carly Fiorina would be the perfect ticket. Or second would be Trump and Fiorina, because they really, you need a person out there that can speak their mind and not be weighed down and bogged down by the political system and then force the others to, you know, get on it where us people can hear it. And that's why they made it such a spoofy thing.
Yeah.
And because they got a lot more to go, and they would have been smarter to get it out right in the front. You know, there might be another Fox News debate before this is over, but you can't give a minute and 30 seconds. That's crazy.
Yeah. They missed all the issues. Well, great points, John. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much.
God bless.
All right. Take care. Yeah, I think it was a travesty that they really wasted a lot of time on non-issues, you know, talking to Trump right at the beginning about that and trying to nail Scott Walker on abortion issues and stuff like that. You know, there are some real priorities that I think people needed to hear about, and that would have been your Iran nuke agreement. That would have been immigration. You know, those were the ones that
ISIS.
Should have been ISIS, yes, and they didn't. They wasted a lot of time. And I feel like Fox really did a hatchet job. That's just me. You know, I could be wrong, but, you know, that's the way I took it. And I'm a Fox fan. I have been.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm a little jaded. I really am. I don't have any choice. I can't certainly go change my viewing habits to MSNBC or CNN any more than I do because I get sick literally watching MSNBC. I feel like throwing up. It raises my blood pressure.
So you felt a little ambushed by this, by Fox
I do.
Doing what they did.
I do. I am very unhappy with Fox News and Rupert Murdoch or his kids or Roger Ailes, whoever was in charge and did that. And frankly, I don't trust, as much as I like my Facebook, I don't trust Mark Zuckerberg because I do believe he is a raging liberal and would do whatever he could, and I think he did in this debate. Because you know what? When you take a debate like that and sell whatever the sponsorship was to Facebook, and obviously there was a Facebook sponsorship of some sort in there.
There's influence.
There has to be. So there were some deals cut in the background with Zuckerberg, with Facebook, with whatever liberals, you know, and it just bothered the heck out of me. Something was not right. It didn't feel right. It didn't sound right. Even Megyn Kelly. I'm shocked. I really am, you know.
Zuckerberg, the nerd liberal, has infiltrated.
Yeah, the guy that wears nothing but T-shirts. Of course, when you're worth billions of dollars, I guess you can tell the tie guys and everyone else to jack it. You know, I'm not going to wear a tie. I'm wearing my T-shirt to the board meeting tonight. So, yeah, it was shocking to me, the whole debate.
A guy like Zuckerberg, you know, that's so successful, he doesn't do anything without a benefit to him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. Those guys, they just don't have the mindset to just like, all right, here's a bunch of money and do what you want. No, yeah. They're going to get something for that money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's he's one of those guys. They want the open immigration. There's an agenda being planned. You know, you can call me conspiracy, Bilderberg, whatever. There's something odd happening in this country, and it's so plain. They're not even trying to hide it really anymore. I mean, having that great big F Facebook logo in the background? Really? I call it subliminal, call it whatever you want. It didn't sit right with me. I was not happy with it.
You know, I don't know if it's because I'm really hungry right now, but when you mentioned Bilderberg, it makes me want to start a franchise with you.
The
you
Bilderberger?
Yeah.
Bilderberger.
Yeah.
Bilderberger. It's like the Build-A-Bear.
I think, well, people are too stupid. They wouldn't even make the connection and see the humor in it. Yeah, they wouldn't understand.
A lot of people don't get us. Why don't they get us? Our sense of humor.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't know. Crazy. So we're going to continue this, and I wanted to talk one more thing about the debate, but I don't know that we have time. Derek, how much time we got there? 1 minute. So we got 1 minute. What'd you do? You took a few weeks off. What did you do? Anything this week?
Nah, I've done nothing.
You've done nothing. You sat around? Did you catch up on some soap operas or something?
I don't know. Time just flies by.
It does.
You know, when you get old, you don't have to do anything and time flies by.
You know, I wake
up. That's a warning to you young people out there. Don't waste your lives.
You wake up in the morning. I go to work. I work until I go to bed at night, and the days just fly by. And here it's been 10 years, you know, watching my son get older. And
you blink. The week's over.
Yeah, it's gone. But your hair looks a little grayer, too. Does mine?
No. No. Grayer, thanks.
Must be the sun.
Well, that got me really worried. You know what it is? When you get it cut short, the gray, like, really...
It does. It shows up more. Yeah.
So in about 3-4 weeks, I'll look less gray.
Right. There you go. Okay. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
People
people are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham! For the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham! Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. GOP presidential hopeful Donald Trump stirring up controversy with post-debate remarks about Fox anchor Megyn Kelly, one of the moderators. Now he's been disinvited from the Red State gathering in Atlanta by organizer Eric Erickson, who says,
I've got my wife here. I've got my daughter here. I've got 800 friends of mine here.
Trump's campaign calling the reaction to his comments another example of weakness through being politically correct. In the Colorado theater shooting verdict, we're learning that one juror was adamantly opposed to executing James Holmes, two others unsure.
Is there anything else on behalf of the defense?
As Judge Carlos Samore read the verdict that spared the life of the Aurora theater shooter, victims and family members in the courtroom gasped and started crying, shaking their heads with disappointment.
Julie Hayden of Fox TV affiliate KDVR in Centennial. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Summer is the best time to get your landscaping projects done. Call the Rock Shop on Gottfredson Road at 734-455-5560. The Rock Shop is ready to help you design and complete your garden and landscape dreams. With a large selection of garden sculptures, fountains, rock walls, and pavers, your dreams can become a reality that will improve your home's value. As always, the Rock Shop will teach you to install everything they sell for free. Call 734-455-5560. And don't forget to visit the Rock Count Room and check out a wide variety of unique gifts. See the website at www.rock-shop.com. The Rock Shop is conveniently located on Gottfredson Road at M14. Call 734-455-5560.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Hey there.
All right, so we're talking debate. And Derek, I want to jump down to track three real quick and get this. Donald Trump was talking about And I think this is why his poll numbers, no matter how much they tried to bash him, he still kind of maintained his talking points on immigration. You got that track ready? Let's hear that.
If it weren't for me, you wouldn't even be talking about illegal immigration, Chris. You wouldn't even be talking about it. We need to build a wall, and it has to be built quickly.
Donald Trump's hitting a nerve in this country. And for people that want to just tune him out, they're making a mistake.
All right, so that was John Kasich jumping in and mm-hmm. agreeing with him. And so at least there was some. I think most of the candidates on stage probably would have agreed with that had they been given the chance to say something.
You know, part of me really likes John Kasich. I always have. I mean, I liked him when he was a young congressman in the Reagan administration and then director of OMB, and he's done a lot of things. And there's something about him just, for me, he's got a likable personality.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about him, I don't, number one, think he's capable of winning a national election. But I didn't like his rationale for expanding Medicaid the way he did because, you know, it's we got to help the poor people. It's God's will or whatever the excuse was. And I'm thinking, and one of the other pundits said the same thing. Well, if you use that rationale, we're going to have trillions right. of dollars in debt as you're trying to take care of people.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to take care of people, but swimming, you know, drowning men can't save sinking swimmers. And we're drowning people. It's that simple. We got to find other ways. You know, some of the other people that I liked what Chris Christie said about entitlements. And I thought he scored points there. With me, he did. He's not my favorite guy. He's not even in the top six. But he addressed an issue, took it head on, that we have to reform Social Security. And I thought it was pretty logical when he said, you know, we're going to move the age up to 2 years later, but we're going to take 25 years to do it. Well, that doesn't sound like such a bad thing, and yet people jumped all over him for that, including Huckabee, I think. Oh, people paid for the Social Security. It's Social Security. It was a net design for people who lost everything by their own fault or Bernie Madoff or whatever. It's a safety net. If you don't need Social Security, billionaires shouldn't be collecting Social Security. You know what I mean? And I don't mind working. I plan on working at Walmart as a greeter. Walmart, if you want to sponsor me now, I'd be happy to work for you later. But I don't believe Social Security will be there for me. I really don't. So I'm going to be one of those old guys working as a greeter somewhere because that and the fact that I can't sit still.
Yeah, I think the numbers dictate that it's fact that right about the time you and I are ready to start collecting, it won't be there.
It won't be there.
Unless something's done now.
Yeah.
And you start preparing for that inevitability because the demographics of the nation, the dollar amount that's there versus what will be in the future and contributions, everything, yeah, it won't be there.
Yeah, that and I think the disability portion of Social Security is now eating into those funds too. I could be wrong, but I thought I had heard that. And we've got 40-odd million people or something on disability
of some
sort.
Soared.
It's
just
crazy.
Skyrocketed, and it's become easier. And that's so corrupt, too, that whole system. You know, I think it was 60 Minutes, and they showed this going into, like, Kentucky and some of these areas where, like, it's you can just basically get the right lawyer. He's connected to somebody in the administration, and you can get this thing done.
Yeah.
It's almost like a mafia.
Yeah, it's terrible. The last thing I wanted to hit about Fox News was, why in God's name did Megyn Kelly interview Debbie Wasserman Schultz right after the debate and let her put her two cents in about this is why a Democrat will win because look at those filthy Republicans. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what she said.
Diversity.
You know what? Let's see if they put Reince Priebus on after the Democrat debate. I doubt that that's going to happen. Let's take a call from Ken. Ken, welcome to the show.
Well, I just wanted to comment. No, I didn't watch the debate. Because my candidate in the primary wasn't even part of the A-list as far as debate goes.
Santorum.
Yeah, he was in the first. He did well in the first debate.
But I've been paying attention, and what I see, unfortunately, regarding Fox, is that Fox, and it's sad to say this, but Fox is becoming more and more like CNN, less and less supportive of us who see ourselves as conservatives.
Yeah, did you watch Rick Santorum on the first part?
I didn't watch it, but I've heard his comments, and I don't have a problem with his comments.
Yeah, he performed well, but they did the same thing to him that they did to Walker and to Huckabee. They kind of tried to make him look bad over his Christianity and his beliefs and his pro-life values, which I was offended. You know, I was offended by that, and I'm thinking, why are you attacking these people because they're Christian? You know,
well,
that they're entitled to.
Unfortunately,
yes.
With Fox, is that Fox clearly is no longer supportive of conservatives, no longer supportive of especially Christians. It's sad, but this is something I'm seeing with their broadcasts, with things that they're saying. And we just need to be more diligent with what we're seeing coming from them and from also comments by our hopefully candidates.
Yeah. Well, I would tell people, you know, I would say go watch another network, but we don't have another network to go to. So maybe the Koch brothers can get off their duffs and put together yet another media stream for those of us who find that we are Christian, caring Christians who love conservatism. You know, put together something else. I don't know that there is another network out like that, but
I think we
got to look for
networks. I think we're down now to talk radio. Mark Levin and some of the other reliable talk radio programs, I think, unfortunately, that's what we're down to because we've lost Fox. I hate to say that, but it appears to be. And there again, we just have to be very cautious in what we listen to.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the comments, Ken. I appreciate your phone calls, as always.
Well, you take care.
All right. You take care, too. Let's take a call from Walter in Belleville. Walter, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, appreciate you guys as usual. I'm going to tell you, man, I learned a lot from you guys. I didn't know that about Fox. Joining the crooks, liars, and thieves.
Yeah, you got to be careful, Walter. There's something going on at Fox. I was telling Linda earlier, I thought it started with when Glenn Beck left the network, and that bothered me then, but I kind of let it go for a while, and now after that, watching that debate, something is going on, and I'm not happy about it, and the hair, my spider senses are tingling. You know what I mean? Something is definitely going on at Fox, and I'm not happy about it. I can assure you of that.
Well, the only thing I hear about Fox is them a bunch of guys lusting, talking about how pretty Megyn Kelly, whatever her name is. That's about it.
Yeah,
that's
the
only good thing you can get out of it.
Yeah, well, they do hire good-looking spokes ladies and pretty talking heads for the show, but there you go.
My real point is, man, I think us Republicans or conservatives, whatever you want to call us, are stuck on stupid another time, or one more time, and also we've been baptized in stupid juice. What I mean by that is we are getting caught up in sound bites and cliches like, he looks presidential. He sounds presidential. He looks president. Oh, he's my favorite. He's my favorite. Who stood out to you the most? He's my favorite. He. On and on and on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we keep getting caught up in the polls. Remember, let's take a trip down memory lane about 3 years ago about Mitt Romney. The polls, national polls, were showing he was up by a big margin. And look who won at the end.
Yeah.
Are these reliable polls, by the way? How often do I get polled?
Yeah, nobody's ever called me, Walter. I'm with you. I've never had a pollster call me.
We Republicans and conservatives and all the national talk shows that we talk about, Mark Levin, all of them say the same stuff about polls. They go cola drunk with the foolishness like all the rest of them.
Yeah.
They need to start calling out what I like about Donald Trump and the few that's up there. They're controlling the conversation with these moderators, hopefully, and these news people, and they need to start mentioning these news people, national news journalists' names and stuff, and start calling them liars to their face. And why are you asking this dumb, stupid, off-the-wall question, which the average American is not even concerned about, because it ain't got nothing to do with his lifestyle and bettering his lifestyle or her lifestyle. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's up to us to make sure that we, and this is what social media is good for. You can bombard Fox News with emails and social media. Hit them up, hit them hard. Hit Megyn Kelly hard on her website. Hit Chris Wallace hard on their Twitter accounts and do something about it. So it's up to us to make that effort on our part because we do have a little something to say about it.
Now, see, you gentlemen may not have been polled, but the NSA and Mark Zuckerberg, they know who you're going to vote for. They know.
It's got to be all Democrats that they're polling, so they can discourage us. That's their tactics, man. We're falling for the tactics.
Yeah.
Like I say, it showed Mitt Romney up, but he lost, even though I believe they stole it. I think it was a lot of fraud. Y'all heard about some of those states where all the counties went toward who? Barack Obama.
Yeah, huh? Exactly. That's exactly right.
We got to focus on their corruption out there, the lying and the cheating, and people voting two or three or four times instead of talking about who's going to get us. We all patting ourselves on the back. Oh man, it shows that Donald Trump is up in the poll. Man, we going all. He gonna beat it. He gonna take it to the end.
Yeah, well, time will tell. We'll see what the polls look like in a few weeks. Well, thanks for the call, Walter. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you hopefully next week.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, take care.
Bye, Walter.
Let's take a quick call from Jenny. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm sorry to echo a bunch of negativity here, but you stole some of my stuff. Because after Glenn Beck left,
Yeah.
That's when Fox went down.
Yeah, there's something started then,
something
Jenny,
wrong.
And it's continuing at a more rapid pace now, I think.
And I watched
Global Elite.
I watched Megyn Kelly a couple times, part of her show, because people told me she was good, but no, she wasn't. She's really weak, and she's not conservative that much. And I didn't like her. I don't care for Bill O'Reilly. I don't care. I got a friend that likes him, but no, So yeah, I don't watch Fox. Talk radio is where I go. Now that you know, I can get Mark Levin on. I get him his podcast. He's one of my favorites. And I can go now. I can stream with my streaming device in the morning. I don't have to listen to Bill Bennett. I can't stand him. Sorry. But I can go to other people.
You've got options.
Yeah, you've got options. Well, Jenny, great call and good point. Sorry I stole your thunder, but something's going on at Fox and all.
That's right.
Yeah, tell people to hit them up on social media and say you're not happy about it. That's all I can tell you to do.
Yeah, so anyway, but Glenn Beck left for a reason.
Yeah. There was a reason, and it's good. Well, thanks for the call, Jenny. We'll hear from you again.
Thanks, Jenny.
Take care. Okay, so...
You know, I was a little disappointed with the debates because my candidate wasn't there.
Alan West?
Lyndon LaRouche.
Oh, no. Not again.
Do you remember that guy?
I do.
I was in an airport on a business trip in the early 80s, and his people were in the airport, you know, trying to raise money and selling their newspaper subscription and all this. So I actually went out. They sucked me in. They're hey, you, blah, blah, blah. And I can't remember how they hooked me, but I came over there and listened to what they had to say. So I actually gave him it was like $3 or something ridiculously low. And they signed me up for their publication. And I think I got it. I think it was a monthly publication for a year.
Yeah.
It had some of the funniest crap you could ever imagine. You talk about conspiracy stuff and nonsensical. You know, the Queen of England's the biggest drug trafficker in the world. And some of the most...
Yeah, that's crazy.
Funny. I mean, it was very entertaining.
Yeah. Well, you got your $3 worth out of it. Well, I wanted to talk about one other thing because, you know what, people say, I've been accused of being a Republican hack. Gary's a Republican hack.
You're a hack in a lot of ways, but I don't know so much about
it. I can assure you that I'm not, because when I see stupidity on the right, I'm going to say it as well.
Yeah, but you just recently scraped off your Mitt Romney bumper sticker.
I did. After Paul Ryan did something really bad, I scraped it right off. Well, I want to talk about, because this was in the news the last couple of days, State Rep Todd Corser and State Rep Cindy Gamrat, who are, you know, the Bible, very conservative Tea Partiers. Mm. And you know what? This is the kind of stuff that gives the right and the Tea Party bad names.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
They had an affair. I guess that's what the Detroit News is
Bible love.
Is reporting.
Yeah.
And to make matters, you know, and I don't know why it was a problem, because you know what? Bill Clinton was having an affair in the White House. Why are you worried about the public finding out that you had an affair?
That was not sex.
So this guy went on to come up with a plan to have somebody release an email saying he was accused of having a male prostitute sex behind a bar in Lansing so that people would go, oh my gosh, that's terrible. Ah, the affair is nothing. And Derek, do you have these tracks
what?
Ready? Well, luckily, I don't know if it was legal or not, but anyways, one of his aides recorded the conversation. A-I-D-E-S, mind you. Let's go to that first track, Derek. This is him talking to his aide, unbeknownst that he's being recorded. He's coming up with this cockamamie plan.
Cockamamie.
Go ahead and play it.
If possible, inoculate the herd against gutter politics that are coming. Unless they have something really awful, which I do not know about. Okay?
Todd, this is really awful.
What's that?
You and Cindy. Like, yeah. I mean, how much more awful could you get? I mean, yeah, that you came up with is pretty awful, but like...
It just sounded like a horrible soap opera.
It's exactly. Go ahead and cut that. We're going to go to the second one.
Terrible acting.
Because it just goes on, and you're listening, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, who elected this guy and put him in office when he thinks concocting some crazy scheme like that? I'm sorry. I'm laughing, but it's not funny. This is terrible. All right, play the second
what
track.
What do you call there. A male rooster?
Play the next one. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to laugh. Do you got it?
Because I want them to be insulated. You're inoculating the whole herd.
No, it's the same one.
No, it's not. He uses the same word. He's trying to inoculate the Tea Party.
Like normally people just like headed off themselves and say, hey, this happened, or quietly resign and go away.
Which would be the right thing to do. It's still going. Hold on.
You know, this is so funny. I don't even know really what we're talking about. It's hilarious.
I'm sorry.
I've lost track. You've explained it well. I'm just that I'm slap happy, and I think the whole thing is funny.
It's devastating.
Tragically funny.
Because you know what? This is hurting true conservatives.
Yeah.
I mean, number one, if you're going to be a Tea Party and a conservative and a pro-lifer and an anti-gay person, you better set yourself up a little better.
Yeah.
You better take a little more care to not be an idiot and do something as stupid as that. Don't set yourself up as a Bible thumper and then have a raging affair.
Well, that's right. That is like so much meat for that was unintended. For the left.
Yes.
The no-brainer.
Yes. It's crazy. Let's take a quick call from, is that Tim on or Gary online too? Gary, go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, fellas. You're right. I mean, a lot of times these guys that come into the limelight, not intentionally expose themselves, but you know what's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of people trying to turn up anything that can, you know, besmirch their efforts. But I wanted to comment on your observation with Fox News. If you listen to the news clip that you had on the half hour, there's some guy that they had on called Eric Erickson, and he was complaining because of Donald Trump. He was saying, "Oh, I had 800 tickets that I gave to my friends to come in." You know, I mean, you see this kind of going in a direction where there's momentum being created by somebody. And like you said, Facebook, I believe the guy that owns Fox News, is that Murdoch?
Yes. That's Rupert Murdoch, yes.
Yeah, I think that fellow's bad news. And, of course, he's a big businessman, and he's looking for a profit. So he's entertaining a lot of these those types of avenues with Facebook and other people. The other thing was that I feel that the moderators could have spent more time giving the candidates that time rather than just bantering between themselves. You know, they get a lot of small talk going. And
They mentioned that on one of the earlier shows here. They got 31% of the time was for the three moderators. Really?
Okay.
That's crazy.
It's excessive.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good. Not good. And if I could just switch the topic briefly to the Iranian agreement. I believe there's a real consensus that it is trouble for not just the U.S., but a lot of the world when it...
Well, you know what? Play. You know what? Here's a problem. The French, for example, they have huge business interests in Iran. And they've had in the past huge business interests in Iraq when Saddam was in power. And they have huge business as well as the Germans and the British to a degree. But I think the French are really in bed with the Iranians. It's all about money. Follow the money.
Follow the
and
money.
That, the French will sell out world security and United States security in a heartbeat if they can make a buck on it.
Yes, but when they're dust, the money doesn't make a lot of difference, does it?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
so you're a smart exactly person. Right. The French, they don't care.
Yeah, I guess they don't care. So in light of that, my thought is that the Iranians, and other people have discussed this before, you know, with an ICBM and the capability of putting up a much more devastating weapon on connected to it are going to be able to ruin grids over various countries, namely the United States.
Yeah, and we can't get our Congress and President to pass a $5 billion bill to harden the grid. How stupid is that, Gary? I mean, that's just crazy.
No, we're on a dangerous path. And those are the types of issues, Gary, that you're bringing up that should be addressed in these debates, at least eventually, quick.
Yes.
I know that the first one was kind of a meet and greet and kind of a gotcha type of thing. But, we need to start talking about some serious subjects with some proper time allotted to it.
Right. Yeah. Well, great points, Gary. I appreciate the phone call.
Okay.
All right, take care. So the last thing I wanted to get to was, Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat, is now voting no on the Iran agreement. And thank goodness to him. I appreciate him doing that. Whether for whatever reasons, that's a smart move.
And Senator Corker came out and just blasted it this morning.
And I want people in Michigan here to call Gary Peters, Senator Gary Peters, and call Debbie Stabenow. Debbie Stabenow's number is 616-975-0050, or you can call directly to Washington, 202-224-4822. Call Debbie Stabenow and say, vote no on the Iran agreement, and do the same with Gary Peters. You can reach Gary Peters' office at 202-224-6221. But even easier than that, join them on Facebook and Twitter and send those gnarly messages saying, hey, do not support the Iranian agreement. If you do that and get enough people to do that, you will have an effect because they're on the fence right now. So if you get them to vote with Schumer, we can stop this Iranian agreement. And it may not do much, but at least keeps America's portion of the, what's the word I'm looking for? Sanctions off of Iran or on Iran. So make sure you do that. It's a call to action. I'm going to ask you. Go out and social media them or call them directly and say, hey, get it done.
Now we are living in dangerous times, and they're only going to get more and more dangerous because of just kicking the can down the road.
Yep. And that's the weakness and the cowardice of our people in Washington. All right, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. That's www.thedailydrift.com. See you next week.
See you next week.